Greetings, podcast listeners, and welcome to another edition of Esposito, Dora the Explorer, Pull My Pinky, one of those things, all of those things, and more. Thanks for tuning in this week, or whenever you happen to be doing so in the future. If you happen to be in the UK, like we are, we've been enjoying a very belated summer. No, it's unfair, we've got short memories. June was really nice. July and August were absolute washouts. But the start of September has been really nice in a, you know, slightly concerning climate changey kind of way. But we're in England, we will take hot weather where we can get it. Speaking of England, it's very English to be talking about the weather on a podcast, really just to myself in the room. Hope that's not too off-putting for anyone. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you could share, like, subscribe to the channel. No, that's YouTube. I keep doing this. Whatever the things are that push out engagement and get the word out, I'd be really happy if you could do some of that. No worries if not. Just hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening, and all the best.
Last time on Search for Dora the Explorer, Pull My Pinky, you found yourself fighting the bio-horrors that listeners will remember from season one.
Listener will remember from season one. His name is Jack Listener, and he's five.
Great name.
And lives in Toronto. Hey, Jack, how you doing?
So he's five now, so what, he was two, one or two when he started listening?
His parents were terrible.
Oh, the worst.
And I use the past tense. I use past tense because they're dead now.
I'm assuming he'd just be taken away from them for making him for listen to his procedure.
Oh, Jack. It's all right, we'll take you in.
You little scamp. We love you, Jack.
You're a child of the channel.
Never find us.
I'm not going to lie to the boy. I never cared for you. Never did.
Don't quote his parents.
I never cared for Jack.
Yeah, that's why he killed them, and that's why he'll kill you.
Yeah. That threatened me with a good time.
All right, Tom Owen.
Hey, I don't have a monopoly on being suicidal.
Hey, Tom, don't do yourself down. You do. You do have that monopoly. It's a weird set. I don't know why they printed it.
Millennial angst monopoly.
My Chemical Romance Row. Yeah.
That free parking you get to the second tower for.
I was going to say, when you hit free parking, there's another recession, but fine.
Free parking is a lie.
And you can only rent places, you can't buy them.
Yeah. Wasn't that an actual feature of the actual Millennial Edition?
Oh, I can't believe someone got that for the list. Actually, okay.
Sorry. Yes, we fought some bio-horrors. Jack Listener remembers it.
Fought some bio-horrors in zero gravity with space hay. Nobody shot anything apart from cryo rounds, which was a good idea. Otherwise, you would have taken shitloads of damage. Possibly even died. Reboot managed to find a button at the top of the room, which opened the airlock door, to which you all managed to get through. You dispatched, I think, three of the bio-horrors, but they were just you could hear that there was more coming. Coming through the door, you went past some sensors that closed the airlock, and you found yourself in a slightly run-down, almost patched together, dilapidated airlock that ran for what seemed like miles in a straight line. You could see that there was some see-through, some transparent perspex in the wall, and you could see out into this huge chasm of a room with hydraulic machinery moving some building parts around, and at the far end, this kind of forge light that kept periodically blasting out. you decided you thought it would be a good idea to stop going down the linear path and blow up this wall. But you soon realized that the room beyond was in the vacuum of space. The corridor began to rip apart into the vacuum, and you ran down it on a conveyor belt. I think Jefferson had some cake, which gave him 3 hit die back, and got a grenade or 2, I think. It's a good job you didn't roll a 1 on your d4 when you ate the cake, because that would have been an instant erection for 8 hours. Which is...
I say good time.
Jefferson probably is not experienced that.
Jefferson can't spare the blood pressure, he would have just passed out.
You managed to get down the corridor and open the door at the end before it ripped you out into space. And you were confronted with a bizarre sight, which we are now dubbing the Room of Darren, where there was a room completely crammed full of clones of a guy called Darren. Jefferson started to rouse them a little bit, and instant Darren erections for forever. And they start to form their own cult-like chant, "We are Darren." It was impossible to get through them, really. Jefferson did a bit of crowd surfing, grappled onto the airlock at the end, and Hood
made a walk around.
And yeah, decided to pull out his flamethrower and cook some Darren up. Probably killed around a quarter of the room to clear a path for you guys to get through. Jefferson didn't really take kindly to this and obviously started questioning the morals of it. You quickly got over that and moved on to that. Where there were 3 tubes waiting for you, 3 capsules that had your names on each of them but spelt incorrectly. You went into your corresponding capsule and shot off into the moon. And that's where we left you, unless I missed anything out.
No, I think that sounds caught up.
Great. So yeah, you jolt into the unknown. You're fired off at breakneck speed into the bowels of the moon. Twisting and turning in complete darkness, your organs rattle against your skeleton. Can you all make a strength saving throw?
Oh dear. 12 for Hud.
24 for Rebook.
14 for Jefferson.
Okay, Rebook and Jefferson, you managed to lodge yourself into the capsule so you don't rattle about too much, but Hood, you smash against the sides a little bit and you bite your tongue.
Oh.
And you take 4 piercing damage.
Ah, this isn't Jefferson's first ride in a tube.
As your mouth fills full of blood.
That's a powerful bite.
Yeah.
You keep going in this darkness for some time, but finally you shoot out into the wide open space, the same space that you saw through the perspex glass in the corridor previously. You realize that you're in a kind of see-through with transparent tubing that this capsule is running along in, and it seems to run some distance towards the end of the room where that glowing furnace light was emitting from, still periodically flashing and producing another piece of wall or sometimes an entire room or part of a spacecraft that is then grabbed by this hydraulic machinery and placed into the chasm somewhere. You can also see out the corner of your eye, the remains of the long corridor you went through. Bits and pieces of shrapnel floating in the vacuum. Corpses of the biohorrors. Faces frozen in a gargoyle and ghoulish grimace. Their life expunged in the cold vacuum of space.
A good sentence, I like that.
Can you make a perception check, all of you?
15.
21.
20 non-natural.
Okay, so Hood, you see a couple of things. You see around you that your companions are in separate tubes to you, twisting and turning in their own capsules. Again, this scene becomes sort of a manic dance as you curve around each other. The shape that's being made with the 3 tubes is almost like a strand of DNA making its way towards the end of the chasm. You can make out these little figures, these little small drones flying around this space. They're securing the objects that are being produced to the wall so they don't float away. They're also starting to clean up the pieces of shrapnel and the bodies of the horrors as well, and taking them off and discarding them into another area of the space station. Rebook and Jefferson, you notice another couple of things. Where the corridor ended and the room of Darren began is now empty. Like a massive part of the side of the moon is missing. Where you thought you would see the remnants of that room, there's just nothing. It's just a hole. And you can see out into the vast expanse of space beyond. And you can catch, in the distance, a faint glow of a nearby spacecraft firing away from the moon. And you can only assume that somehow the room of Darren has been ejected from the space station.
Oh, so the ignition is from the room of Darren?
Yeah.
So either they didn't want to have some rogue Darrens running through the station, or the Darrens figured out how to fly their room and are off to make their own world of Darrens.
My money's on the latter.
Me too. Darrens are shrewd, shrewd operators.
Find out in season 3 of Esposito.
Esposito.
Darren's Esposito.
You're not going to find that out in season 3.
Find that out in season 4 of Esposito.
When Jack will be 20.
With those roles as well, you do catch something else out the corner of your eye. There is a couple of items secured into the walls that have been secured by these drones. It's discarded pieces of tubing that you're in. And there's some identical capsules, pretty much, attached to the wall of the space station. There are 3 of them. They have signs on them. I'll say with over 20, you manage to see the text. One of them reads APX. One reads SADUM, SADUM. And the other reads SADMUN.
So one of those packs, but I'm not sure what we're going to take.
Yeah, so it's Dumas and Pat. What's the third one? Or maybe it's his tried to spell Dumas twice.
Sorry, it's SADMON.
Oh, Damson.
Damson, Dumas and Pax.
But you get rocketed towards this forge light, and you can see now, through the opening of the moon's wall, there's just this incredible amount, as you get closer and closer, this incredible amount of light and energy being generated to produce this array of equipment or pieces of spacecraft. It's almost blinding as you get closer towards it. If you want, you can do a astrophysics or computers check.
Well, I'm surprised you're good at astrophysics. I'll do a quick astrophysics check. Doesn't matter, I got a 12.
Yeah, you can't tell much from what this is or what this might be. But just as you power on through towards this eye of the storm of energy, before you reach the opening, you get pulled off, giggity, back into the walls of the space station. It suddenly becomes dark again for what seems like an eternity, but in reality is only around a couple of minutes. You shunt to a stop. There's like a faint blue light that flickers on in the capsule, and you find yourself, all 3 of you, not together, in separate rooms, 30 by 30 foot, no sign of your companions. So, we'll start with Hood. As the capsule door swings open, can you make a constitution saving throw?
20 non-natural.
So after the nauseating spinning madness of the tube in space, you feel like you're going to gip, but then you swallow and you steady your feet. The room in front of you holds one singular figure sitting behind a desk. A lamp and fan hangs low from the ceiling and chunters away above the figure as they sit facing you. There's an empty seat opposite them, and you can see on the other side of them, at the other end of the room, there is a door. No sign of a keypad or screen, just this person sitting behind a desk.
Can I see their face?
Yeah. The man in the chair looks up at you and simply says, "Hello, Colm." And you recognize his voice. You see his face. It's the familiar face of Doc staring back at you, giving off a harsh, cold demeanor. And then we'll quickly whip to Rebook. As the blue light comes on in the capsule, the door swings open and you step out. Can you make a constitution saving throw?
Oh, no, I'm not great at those. That'll be nine.
After the torment of the tube journey, you throw up all over the floor quite violently. And as you look up, you see a bizarre sight and frankly quite terrifying. In this 30 by 30 foot room, there is a woman standing on a high stool in the middle of the room, a rope around her neck. And it's the form of your adoptive dwarf mother. You also recognize the figure next to her, pistol in his hand. Your old friend, Dumas Korriban. Now we'll skip over to Jefferson. You step out of the capsule. Can you make a constitution saving throw?
8.
Yeah, you immediately vomit, probably back into the capsule, keep it clean. It's quite violent, maybe a bit of blood in yours. You're old, probably got some lung issues. The sight you see before you is an interesting one. There's chairs set up. There's chairs. It's so interesting. That's it.
My God, chairs? I've not seen one of these for nigh on 60 years. Chairs were phased out in the future. We call it the future, ironically, of course. Chairs were phased out in the future to be replaced with hovering. Sorry, you carry on.
Chairs set up in a traverse-style seating arrangement on both sides of a coffin on a table in the middle of the room. The chairs are empty, and the priest stands at the other end of the room, dressed in priestly garb. There's a door situated behind him. You notice that the priest actually looks exactly like Darren. He says, "We are gathered here today to witness the passing of..." And he suddenly becomes quite exasperated, and he takes a seat, and head in hands, he says, "Oh, who cares at this point? Nobody cares about this one anyway." Can you make a perception check?
20.
Funny. So you can see on the chairs dotted around the room, there are placards, and each one has a name. Pax is on there, Dr. Damson, Korchev, even D4 and Prim. Dora is also one. Your new friends, Hood and Rebook. Your mother, your father, old family friends, all included, but all the chairs are empty.
A little on my nose, but fine.
And I suppose we'll go back over to Hood and his situation. He's confronted with the familiar face of Doc, who you may remember, listener, Jack listener, from season 2.
Hud's just going to roll his eyes and go, "What the fuck are you doing here?" He's still reeling from the fact that he's bitten his tongue.
"Why don't you take a seat, Colm?"
"Oh, fuck off. while sitting in that thing. As soon as I do, there's got to be seat belts or wrist restraints or something. I've just been through a giant fucking house of horrors. You're probably, and he's going to gesticulate towards Doc at this point, you're probably some sort of elaborate clone or robot or fake. But no, I'm not going to sit down, you wanker. I wouldn't even sit down if I thought you were the real you, because you're a wanker.
Listen, Hood, I haven't forgotten about that punch you gave me. Just sit down and we'll talk about how we can get you back into the Infinity Core.
What is the Infinity Core? I want my island back. I want my tongue to stop swelling up.
Your excuse for leaving was weak.
I was traumatized and I was sick of being told what to do by assholes like you.
Just because Mummy and Daddy didn't care enough to stick around doesn't mean you should forget about the galaxy. Sit down.
You fucking prick. And at this, Hud's going to draw his pistol and shoot him in the leg.
Roll an attack.
Okay. Oh, that's a natural 20.
Right. Roll damage.
So do I roll or double what I've got?
Roll and double every dice.
Okay, so that is 18 points of damage.
Jeez. All right, and then obviously, as a result, I think roll initiative.
Cool. That is a 15, Bud.
Okay. What's your dex modifier?
Plus 3.
Okay. And then we'll move back across to Rebook. So you're faced with the horrific sight of your adoptive dwarf mother, who no longer is alive. You know this, and Dumas Korriban. She has a rope around her neck and stands on a stool. Dumas looks at you. Ah, Rebook, my shifty old twat of a friend. How good to see you.
Dumas, that's not you. You're not Dumas. What's going on?
Well, I thought Dendu relations, not really my bag. The only reason I agreed to it was to root out the sympathizers like this one.
So you dug up my very dead mother from 200 years ago, and...
Well, no, Dora cloned this one, and I thought it might be fun to just take my time with her over and over again.
I was involved with the dance, but this is a twisted fucking shit. Dumas, this isn't you. We are as close to friends as I can relate the concept.
I was just a ploy. Reboot. It's all about the long game. You never knew this about me, really, but I'm a bit of a criminal.
No, that was made clear in... not made terribly clear, but it was hinted at repeatedly. Dora was very keen on finding out. But you'd know that if you were Dumas.
Anyway, enough of this. What do you want to do about this? Shall I kill her?
I assumed she was already dead. You're hanging my cloned mother.
At this point, your adoptive dwarf mother looks up and says, No! I'm not dead, Rebook. I'm alive. Please help me.
It is me, Mama. Love me.
Please help me.
Babushka, no. This is some twisted shit. Reba's going to shoot the rope, if he can.
All right, yeah. Make an attack roll.
19.
Okay. Yeah, it's quite a thin piece of microfilament wire. So you miss it, and it hits the wall at the other end of the room. At this point, Dumas looks at you and goes, What the fuck, Rebook? And he kicks the stool away and points his pistol at you. And we'll roll initiative.
dark shit there, mate. Dark, dark shit.
What's some dark shit? Oh, nice. 23.
All right. And at this point, we'll go to Jefferson again. So, yeah, you're in the room with a coffin in the middle, empty chairs, and a Darren priest who's having a bit of a meltdown.
Jefferson's going to wander over to the coffin. And is it open casket or is it closed?
You can see that it's an open casket, yeah.
He's going to walk over and lean over and have a look in.
So, yeah, as you approach the coffin to look inside the open casket, a figure sits bolt upright, dressed in a black suit. You can make out that this is an exact copy of you. It's like looking in a mirror. Not so fast, Jefferson. You have a lot to atone for.
Right, let's see where this one goes. Okay, Jefferson. Go ahead.
You had such a promising start in life. Quite the celebrity. And now you waste away on a scrapyard, waiting to die. And nobody, and I mean no one, will remember you. Not even Pax came to your funeral. How pathetic.
Pretty sure Pax is dead. So I would be more concerned if he did come. Plus, this isn't really my funeral. This is some elaborate, weird hope, which someone has spent a lot of effort putting together, so that suggests someone cares a little bit. I got invited to a birthday party this year. That was fun. Well, it started out fun. Sorry, was there a question?
You're a husk, just like me, of what you once were. You're a nobody, and you'll die a nobody. Alone, afraid, on a planet of scrap.
Yeah, I mean, I'll die. Probably alone. Everyone dies alone. Planet of scrap, can't really argue with that. It's a bit weird. I mean, it's more of a small moon, but that's fine. Being nobody, you know what? Actually, so you probably don't remember this not being me, but I've tried being somebody. I've tried being nobody. Turns out being nobody, a lot easier. No one expects much of you. It's quiet.
I think that's just an excuse. I think you're deeply, deeply sad. And I know, because I'm you.
Well, no, I mean, we've been through that, though. You're not me. In the same sense, this isn't my funeral. That's not really Darren.
And Darren looks up. Hey, I'm Darren.
Quite a Darren.
Oh, whatever.
This has been fun. I always love to meet me. But I can see there's a door behind you there. I'm just going to skedaddle. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy the funeral. The guests look quiet. But at least you've got a Darren for company. Quiet, Darren.
Would that it were so simple.
Obviously it's not that simple. No one would go to this level of fucking weirdness to create a clone of me and set up a fake funeral with a chair for at least three dead people. I'm pretty sure my parents are dead too. I am 75. It would be weird if they were still alive. So at least five dead people, Pat's parents and D4 and... Oh, I forgot the name. I am very old. Prim. So yes, of course it's not as simple as me just walking out. Go on, do your bit. I'm ready. Jefferson actually takes a seat. And, like, draws his pistols and puts them on his lap. Go on.
So you can see that inside the casket, your overcoat was folded up as a pillow, like a makeshift pillow for this version of Jefferson. And he does have one of your pistols as well on his chest. He climbs out quite slowly as he's old. And he takes the seat opposite you in the traverse, and he pulls out another pistol and puts them exactly in the same position. It's uncanny just how similar his movements are to your own. It is like looking in a mirror.
I do have a couple of questions before we get on with this. First of all, have you just been lying there for days waiting for this to happen? That's question one. Question two is, do you know who did this? Because it is bizarre, the level of detail and effort that's been gone to. Obviously, it's not Dora. We both met Dora, clearly. Maybe. So those are the questions. Do as you will with those as you would like.
Whose birthday party is it?
It's Dora's birthday party.
Why are you here?
I was invited to a party. It's rude not to go.
You're invited to Dora's birthday party and you're asking who's responsible for all this?
Oh, don't give me that. That's ridiculous.
Well, it's just logical, isn't it?
I don't think it is, if you really understand what the word logical means.
Well, take from it what you will, but, you know, sometimes you can make assumptions. And in terms of, have I been lying here? Well, yes, but that's irrelevant, really. It's quite a comfortable coffin. I had a pillow. Darren for company. Darren's on.
Don't give him that. Shut up, Darren.
Hey! Oh, never mind. At this point, Darren actually pulls out a pistol from his priestly garb and he points it to his head and shoots himself. The blood splatters over the wall at the other side of the room and he slumps off the empty chairs and onto the floor.
That one is ugly. My bad.
Darren's not a zombie. Darren... Do you not know what... Darren is Darren.
I didn't say he was a zombie. I said that one was on me.
Oh.
Sorry, it's the hearing.
Yeah,
we're both... I said, yeah, okay.
You need to get a new hearing aid.
We do. It's they've literally cured that, the deterioration of hearing.
Just very easy. Depending on who survives this. Because obviously, I can just live your life. Because I'm you. I could probably live it better as well, because you really are a miserable wastrel.
God, you're boring. You are really dull. Go on.
I suppose let's roll initiative. I wanted to just say, let's roll to see who draws first. I thought that might be quite fun, but that's just initiative, isn't it?
That is just initiative. Find my good dice. Look, I have any of my good dice up here. I don't actually know where all of my dice have gone. It's a real concern for me. Oh, no, there they are. They're in the other box. There's actually only, there's still a different box they could be in. No, Aaron, you have too many dice. That is, what's my initiative?
21.
21?
Mm.
All right, great. At this point, I'm just going to do initiative in order across the three rooms, just so everyone's involved. So we'll start with Rebook. It's your go.
Okay. Rebook's going to Hunter's Mark, Dumas, not Dumas.
All right.
And fire two shots at him with a cryo pistol.
Pew pew.
Well, that's bad. The first one's a 12.
It's a miss.
Second's a natural one.
You actually hit the now swinging body of your adoptive mother with that second shot, and you do. It just skims a leg. You do 4 points of cold damage, and then bounces off the back of the wall there.
Jesus Christ, Mike.
Natural one, baby.
Fuck me. Rebook's also going to use his movement to run under Swinging Mother and just put his shoulders under her feet.
Okay. Can you roll an athletics check?
Yeah, hopefully I do better than the natural one. 16.
That's enough. Yeah, so you manage to catch her feet on your shoulders, and she bends her knees and starts to support herself. And she grabs onto the microfilament wire and starts to try and undo it. You got your drone as well, or?
Oh yeah, the drone might actually do something. Yeah, the drone's going to take two slices at Dumas. Not Dumas. The first one's a natural 20. Fucking hell.
Classic drone. Wasn't D4's drone a lot more useful than D4 as well?
Yeah, this is becoming a recurring theme with my characters. I need to stop using drones. Actually, no, I need to start using drones more.
D4 was the competent one in the first season as well.
So it's 30 damage altogether.
Jesus.
I'm doubling that.
That drone ain't fucking about.
Second attack. 16 to hit.
And that does hit.
15.
15.
45 damage from the drone and 0 from Raybank.
Dumas kind of whimpers a little bit in pain. That takes a massive chunk out of him. He's sort of quite surprised by this. Didn't remember you being such a heavy hitter, Raybank.
You mess with Mother, you get Mother fucked up. Fuck off, Dumas.
Nice. Inspiration. Wasn't an innuendo, but I enjoyed it. Jefferson, you're up. You're face to face with your clone.
Jefferson just mutters to himself, "Not mine." Hunter's marks himself.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, okay.
Hunter's marks the other him, and then takes three shots.
All right.
So the first two are with the auto pistol. I've got a thing for this. I keep forgetting about this. Right. First one is an armor-piercing bullet using the sniper feat. So -5 to my attack roll, +10 to damage. So the armor-piercing bullet reduces
AC
by 3. Okay. For that hit. So, oh, what the fuck is my plus to attacks? It's high, I know that. Oh, yeah. So that's 22 minus 5, so 17, and his AC is reduced by 3.
That hits.
Okay, hang on. Now the real maths begins. Right, it's a D6, plus a D8 for the hunter's mark. 17 plus 10. 27 points of damage with the first hit. Then the second shot, also with the auto pistol. 23 to hit.
That hits.
So that's 12 points of damage. And then the third shot is with the disruptor. And that's 23 to hit.
That hits.
So 17 with the third hit, and that's necrotic damage.
That hits, yeah. No, I'm failing at maths.
It was about 60 damage in total. Yeah. And then I'm going to use my movement to just stand up and run around behind the coffin, knowing full well that he could move as fast as me, so I guess I'll see him around the other side of the coffin in a second.
Are you taking cover? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. It's now, yeah, the clones go. So, yeah, he's going to move around the side of the chairs. So he has an eye line on you. And he's going to take two shots. So one is 26 and one is 16.
They both hit.
Okay. And that hits you for... why can't I do math tonight? Fuck. 11 points of piercing damage. And that's his go. He's going to use a little bit of movement to dip back behind some of the chairs and take some cover as well. It's now Hud's go.
Hud is going to continue shooting at the clone, possibly not clone, doesn't really matter, of Dub. He's going to switch to his micro cannon at this point. Just to really, really make sure it's done. 12 to hit.
That misses.
Second one. Better is a 25 to hit.
Yeah.
That does 8 points of damage.
All right. And you know, take another chunk out of Doc, and he doesn't really react. Just this cold, blank stare again, sitting in the chair. At this point, he pulls out his pistol. You doing anything else?
I just shout, I fucking knew it. Goddamn clone.
He sort of sits there, and it looks like he's regaining some sort of energy. Takes in like a big, deep breath, and you actually see some of his wounds start to close up. He then pulls out his pistol and he takes two shots at you. I think both hit with a 22 and a 21.
Yes.
And 11 points of piercing damage again. But he's going to then stand up and he almost like cricks his neck and he action surges and goes for you again. One is a 16 and one is a 19.
One of those hits.
All right. And that's 8 points of piercing damage. As we move on to...
I want to do a stunt. I'm going to do return fire.
Okay.
So I can use my reaction to make a single ranged weapon attack against the target, adding my stunt die to the attack roll. So I'm going to shoot him again with my micro cannon.
Yeah, go for it.
So that's a 28 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
11 points of damage.
Okay, great, yeah. Again, he just kind of shrugs it off. It's not really damaged him that much. Kind of gives you a little sneer. You sort of think that's characteristic of Doc. But at the same time, there is something very sinister about it. And then it's Dumas's go. Come here, little shit. And he puts two attacks into you as well. Rebook. 17 and 13.
17 will hit, the 13
will. And that's 6 points of piercing damage. And that's him. So back up to you.
This was a little prick there, Dumas.
Come on, you're better than that, Rebo.
And you're better than this. I don't believe you do such a thing. So 26 and a 12 to hit.
26 hits.
Actually, no, I get a bonus action offhand attack. That's not much better. 15.
That misses.
God damn it. Right, so one hit. So 14 cold damage.
He's going to use Uncanny Dodge as a reaction to...
Well, jokes on him. My drone's up next, and he's done a much better job than me.
Yeah, he fucked him up quite badly. Drone, go for it.
Right, drones... First attack's a 14. I'm not rolling well tonight. 14 and an 8. Even the drone's guffing it.
Was the 8 a natural 1?
No, it was a 2. Very close, but no shit cigar.
As Dumas sort of rolls out the way of your shot, Rebook, he uses his supple nature to avoid the drone's oncoming attacks as well.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's not what I wanted to do here. My mum's in the room.
Don't you remember how supple I was?
Not in front of mother.
Don't you use your supple nature in front of my mother.
Oh, that was absolutely gash rolling. Sorry, mother. I should not use this language.
She can't really speak, but she gives you this terrified and also slightly disappointed glance.
And aroused as well, which is uncomfortable for you.
Oh, that's much worse.
But disappointed, terrified, and aroused.
Hey, it's a dangerous situation. You feel a lot of things.
So many feelings.
It's my standing Friday night.
She's working on this microfilament wire, and she's not getting anywhere with it. It's probably impossible for her to take off without a knife. And it's now Jefferson's go.
Okay. I'm going to stand up and side blast the other me. 25 to side blast.
Yep.
Not loads. That's 9 points of damage. And then I'm going to take another shot at me with the disruptor. But this time, I don't know if he had cover, but he doesn't get any of the advantages of cover.
Okay. He did have some cover.
Oh, and I'm going to use an explosive round. Because I can.
Delicious.
I wish I had the feature that gave you a crit on a 19. That's a... I think it's a 29 to hit. Maybe a 28 to hit.
Yeah, that just about hits.
Just about. Oh, the disruptor did really well there. 22 points of damage.
Yeah, he's not looking good. Sort of blow a hole in him, in his shoulder. You see right through him.
Okay, so obviously you're... I mean, I think we knew that you weren't me because I'm me. But that... It's going to be hard to live as me if you've got a hole in your shoulder.
You can see in the crevice, the cavity of his shoulder, that it looks like a real gunshot wound. There's blood, there's sinew, there's flesh. He screams in pain. And he turns on you, and seeing that you've just... side blasted him, he sort of holds out his hand to side blast you back, and nothing happens. And it's like super confused. He tries it again, and just nothing happens. He goes, "Ah!" and fires a couple of shots at you. 18 and a 26. Both hit.
Yeah, sorry, I said both hit, but I was muted. Classic.
14 points of piercing damage on that one.
Okay, this is starting to hurt a little bit.
He's not looking good, and he's questioning himself a little bit. He ducks back into cover, and he shouts, Why couldn't I... What's happened to my Esper powers?
Did you think you were me? That's crazy. You know that's crazy, right? You're at best a clone of me. Obviously, you can't do everything I can do because you're not me.
How do you know you're not a clone of you?
Known me a long time.
So you think.
That's a good point.
Anyway, die. And then we move. We'll move back to...
Wait. Do you have a belly button? I have a belly button.
Of course I have a belly button. It's such a stupid question. You're the boring one. God. You have investments in space, hey?
Obviously I have investments. I'm not insane.
Jesus, thank God for that. And then it's on to Hood.
Is there anything else in the room with us?
You have a table and a couple of chairs. But that's it.
So in that case, Hud's going to take a big step back. He's going to use a second wind as a bonus action. So he's going to get back. No, so that's 8. No. Yeah. Why can't I do maths today? 17 points back.
Very nice.
And then I'm going to take a step back, and then I'm going to hit the clone with my flamethrower. So that's going to be a 15-foot cone that he's definitely going to be in.
Yeah.
He needs to make a DC 13 dexterity save.
Okay. He rolls a natural one.
Okay, so he takes 3d6 fire damage. That's 11 points of fire damage.
All right.
And then I'm going to shoot him with my micro cannon, because fuck Doc. Does 16 hit him?
It does, just.
Okay, does.
Wink, wink.
10 points of damage.
10 points of damage, lovely, okay. At this point, he looks a little bit concerned. You take a bit of a chunk out of him, and he singes his hair off a little bit on the right side. And he points his pistol back at you and shoots a couple of times. I think one misses and one hits. 23 to hit.
That'll hit.
And a 15.
That'll miss.
That misses. Okay, I thought so. So that's 7 points of piercing damage from the pistol.
Okay.
Again, at this point, you probably question why Doc hasn't done anything flashier, like used any sort of Esper power or any equipment or anything. He's just shooting you with a pistol. It's a very simple pistol as well.
Yeah. Can I say something to him?
Yeah.
I just say to him, why you? Why would she put you here?
I don't understand the question. You need to rejoin the Infinity Corps. Stop this madness. You need to help the galaxy. You've turned your back on it.
Oh, I don't care about the galaxy anymore. I've done my time. I've saved it already. There's more than anyone else has. Well, most people anyway.
You've got so much more to give. And I'm saying that. I despise you.
I've given it.
You can sit on your island for the rest of your days, just knowing that the entire galaxy is going to shit. Are you happy with that?
It's someone else's problem. I've done my bit. I've done it time and again. You had your time out of me. The Infinity Corps had its time out of me. The galaxy's had its time out of me. Time I got something back.
Then we'll move on to...
Mom, why are you eating my character sheet? Chill out. Sorry.
It tastes delicious to me.
He's eating what? Your carrot?
My character sheet. My character sheet. He's like Keelan tapping my hands. He just went down and just bit like the corner out of my character sheet.
I can't keep my mouth. No. I can't keep your character sheet out of my mouth.
No, stop it out. You little duff. Hang on, sorry.
At this point, it's Doomaster's go. He rounds on you, Rebook, and he takes a shot. It misses. It flies straight over your head. In frustration, he gives off this kind of really evil laugh. It's just, this is obviously not Doomaster. It's nothing like him. Nothing like you remember him anyway. He's almost like a pantomime villain version of him. He points the pistol at your mother, and again misses, flies straight over her head and hits the back wall. And it's now your go.
There's no way the real Doomaster would miss this frequently and do this little damage in the turn. You are not Doomaster. And Reboot's going to fire at Doomaster, and he's going to use the thing that he got to use last time and has forgot to use. I don't think it's ever used as part of the upgrade into the warrior class. Imbued Strike.
Oh.
Which gives advantage on attack rolls and constitution to weapon damage. And based on how I've been rolling tonight, I definitely need the advantage. So, first shot. Oh, Jesus Christ. So I rolled a 1 out of 5. It's a 14 to hit.
Okay, yeah, that misses.
Yeah, I might. Second shot. That was a 3 and a 6. So 15 to hit.
That misses as well.
Are they using the online roller?
I'm using an online ruler now. So a theory about luck, it's not random. There's something on a cellular level that luck can be based on. And I don't have it.
If you've ever watched Will Wheaton play D&D, he doesn't have it either.
Next shot was a natural 20.
All right, there we go.
So clearly, whatever force out there that is luck is listening. Right, so offhand shot, 24 damage.
You pretty much take off one of Dumas's ears. It flies and hits the wall behind and slides down. Hits the floor.
One of my shots connected. And then the drone's going to go in for a couple of strikes. First one's a 9. Second one's a 19.
All right, that one hits.
Oh, dear. 11 damage.
All right, so the drone sweeps in and takes off Dumas's head. Completely. In fact, you know what? Rewind that. How do you want to do this?
No, I like that. I like that Dumas has lost an ear. I've shot one of his ears off the side of his head. As his hand goes to one side, his head tilts over to stem the bleeding from one ear. The drone sees the exposed neck and just...
And it just slowly slides off and plonks onto the floor. And you have killed Dumas. Your mother still standing on your shoulders, trying to get this microfilament wire off from around her neck. You're out of combat, but we'll move on to finish the rest. As it's Jefferson's go.
Okay. And I look over at myself, who is looking concerned that he can't do everything that I can do, and say, here's another thing you probably can't do. And I use push on him.
Mm-hmm.
I have to move towards him. So I'll say that whilst walking towards him and use push. So range channeling attacks. That's 21.
Yeah, that hits.
That's 15 points of damage and he needs to make a strength saving throw.
It's irrelevant. How do you want to do this?
Yeah, so I just stand up and walk towards him, put both pistols away, and I say, here's another thing you probably can't do. Just hold my hand out towards him, like I'm about to help him up. So, like, he goes to reach to take my hand, and then he just twists it and push, and it just breaks his neck, and he falls backwards.
As you do this, it is a form of version of yourself to see your own neck break. It's not a nice sight.
He just stands over this disheveled corpse of himself. I really hope that's not how I die. That would be quite, like, being killed by yourself. That would be quite lonely. You're talking to yourself now, Jefferson. Let's just leave the door and forget. Stop it. And he walks out.
And the words that the version of Jefferson spoke to you earlier about whether or not you're a clone yourself and whether those memories have been fabricated do play on your mind a little bit. But you shrug them off and you head towards the door. We'll go over to Doc and Hood. Hood, you'll go.
Hud really starting to get angry at this point. He's just going to keep shooting his microcannon into this clone of Doc. That'll be a hit. That's a 22 non-natural.
Yeah.
There's 15 points of damage for the first hit. 17 hits, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. And then that one is 11 points on the second hit.
Yeah, you take a bit of a chunk out of his thigh and he bends to one knee, quickly picks himself back up and takes a couple of shots at you for a 14 and a 19.
One of those hits.
And that's 8 points of piercing damage. And then it's back to you, as you blast away at each other.
Okay. That's a hit with 26, and that is 13 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
We're just standing like 5 feet away from each other, just shooting each other.
Yeah, pretty much, just across this desk and screaming.
The second one is a 22, and that is 13 points of damage.
All right, yeah. So you put a couple of holes in his chest, and he kind of staggers backwards and looks up at you and says, "This isn't over, Combe. You can kill me, but you're never going to be just happy sitting in the sun, sipping on tequila." And he shoots you twice, and one's, again, a 19 and a 13.
One of those hits.
For 9 points of piercing damage. And then, yeah, back to you.
So yeah, it's just shooting back. It's such a boring fight. I'm out of all my stunts and shit. That is another 17 and another 13 points of damage.
Yeah, how do you want to do this?
So he's just going to walk over to him at this point, like, just takes that last round to his shoulder. He grabs Doc by the shoulder, knocks his pistol out of his hand, jams his micro cannon just under Doc's sternum, and he just says, "I was happy," and just pulls the trigger again and again and again, and just shoots several holes until these force-based projectiles just punch their way through Doc's cloned spine and out of his back. And he keeps firing until his lower half just falls away, and he's just holding this torso up and just firing until he hears a click, click, click of the overheating micro cannon on his wrist, and then he drops the torso, and he just stands there breathing heavily for a moment. He just mutters to himself, "I always thought killing you would be more cathartic." And then he walks over to the door.
Right, so yeah, you all find yourself in this nightmarish rooms of death. You are walking to the door, Jefferson, you're walking to the door. Rebook, are you doing anything with your mother?
Hey. Absolutely not. Reboot Strom's going to fly up and slice that filament wire.
Yeah, does that easy enough. And she is now kind of balancing on your shoulders, swaying a little bit.
The Reaper's going to lower her down slowly. All 4 or 11 inches or whatever it is.
And she sort of crumples to the floor in tears. "Thank you, Rebook. You were always my favourite adopted Dendu."
"I was your only adopted Dendu, mother. I know you're not mother. It was a long time ago you perished. But you'll make another Dendu very happy."
"Why would you say something so hurtful to your mother?"
"Because you're clearly a clone."
At this point, she scrambles towards Dumas's body, and she picks up his pistol.
"Mommy, no."
She shoots herself in front of you. She slumps to the floor. Their words echoing around your head. "Why did you say that to your mother?" It sounds and looks exactly like she was.
"But it can't be. It cannot be. It is not. It is not, mother. It is not. Much like it was not Dumas. Dumas would never do this. Mother would never do this."
The drone just goes, "Beep, boop, boop," and this kind of sad, downbeat response.
"You're quite right. Dora is, she has a lot to answer for. Come this drone, let us find the others."
So you can see no way to open these doors. There's no keypad or open button or anything like that. It's just locked shut.
I'm going to search the remains of Doc to see if there's like a key card or anything like that.
Yeah, sure. Make an investigation check.
Jefferson's going to do the same with Jefferson.
That's a 9 for me.
Make an investigation check, yeah.
As Jefferson kneels down to start searching his own body, he's like, all right, this is weird. This is uncomfortable. Don't mind killing me. Looting me. It's not okay. Gonna have dreams about this, and I'm not going to enjoy them. I hope. 12.
Did you roll a 9, Aaron?
Yes.
You don't really find anything of any note apart from this. It's a small button, basically. Something similar to how you would open a car.
Right, yes. I'll grab that and press the button.
Okay, yes. The door slides open at the other end of the room. Jefferson, you don't, don't find anything really of any note. You find the key fob stitched into the lining of the suit.
Does the overcoat, does his overcoat look nicer than my overcoat?
So yeah, you go over to the coffin, the casket, the overcoat that's been used as a kind of pillow, and you get it out, and it looks pretty much identical apart from it's a lot newer. It's not got any stains or holes in it that have been patched up. It's like it was bought maybe a few months ago.
He eyes it for a little bit and looks at his stained, bedraggled, patched up one, and then he's like, he puts it over his own.
Yep, and the door slides open at the end. Rebook?
Rebook's going to do the same kind of searching look around for anything to get him out of the room.
Yeah, make an investigation check.
17.
Right, yeah, you search Dumas, and you again, you pull out a health poultice. What do you call them again? Fuck.
Healing amp?
Healing ampule, yeah. So you get one of those from Dumas. There's also another naked picture of Dora on a playing card. This one's the Ace of Spades, which doesn't usually have a picture on it, but this one does. And it's quite a close-up picture. And then when you go over to search the corpse of your mother, you find a key fob and also a note that says, to my Rebook, on it.
So, Rebook's going to read it.
And it says, to my Rebook, you were the best of us. I'm glad that you saved the universe. You will always and forever be in my heart. All my love, your mother.
This has turned into a day. Just a day. And Rebook hits the fob, leaves the room.
So as you all exit the room, you enter into the same place. So all three doors enter into this plastic see-through perspex box, basically, and you're back together again. You see your old friends all covered in blood and having gone through something presumably just as harrowing as you have.
Yeah, Jefferson looks at HUD and then looks at Rebook and says, I'm assuming we've all been through some shit. And that none of us want to talk about it.
No, I'll talk about mine. Old boss, what do you get? How about you, Rebook?
So, old boss, you, I met my mother being murdered by my best friend.
Whoa, holy shit. That's...
Yeah, it's at short end of stick.
Yeah, you win that one. God damn.
Yeah, you definitely win that one. I don't want to pry. Was your best friend, was it HUD, or is that an awkward?
Awkward. Everything awkward. Not time to unpack this. That was fucking grim.
Jefferson turns to Had and just says, I don't think it was you.
Yep, got to be honest, that kind of hurt more than my whole thing. I'm going to be smarting about that one for a while. Don't suppose anyone's got any more healing juice. I took kind of a kick in back there.
If we go for race war together, then you can be best friends, but currently.
Yeah, no, sure, whatever. I mean, I only save the galaxy next, you know, by your side, but, you know, whatever.
Would you like a healing amulet?
Yes, please.
I also need to heal a little bit.
I'm pretty badly hurt.
So healing amulet is 2d4 plus 2.
I'll take it.
I'll do a second level mend on you and a first level mend on me.
How are folks doing for healing? Because I can do some more.
I'm pretty rough. Not going to lie. Oh, Hard, I've done well for you. 22 points for you.
Nice. That pretty much gets me back to full.
That was some max healing right there.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good now. I don't need any more. Hold on to that.
I could do with something.
Yeah, Reboot's going to do a second level mend. So that's... It's not the best. 10 hit points back.
That's pretty good. I'm happy with that. Thank you. Much appreciated.
So you're all stood in this plastic box. It's the only thing that's lit around you. The door's behind you shut. But it is lit. Suddenly the...
Lit.
It's lit, yo. Suddenly in front of you, there's a rack of light that starts to reveal itself as these huge doors you didn't see start to part. And through these doors, you can see an incredible amount of light. And you know that it's the same light from the forge that you saw in the space previously. And I think we'll leave it there for this session.
Damn, that was traumatizing. What are you doing, Mike?